Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, God. What are you doing? What does it look like I'm doing? Well, since we're talking on the phone and not on FaceTime, I can't see you, and therefore I have no idea what you're doing. Well, if you must know, I'm dusting. Excuse me? Did you say dusting? I did say dusting. For some reason, I thought I would be calling you and having a conversation about Peter walking on the water, or not walking as it would be. But for the life of me, I cannot connect you dusting with Peter walking on the water. Ha! Well, one could say that there were miraculous things happening on both subjects. It's a miraculous thing that I dust. The thing about Peter is that for me, it is unclear what exactly the miracle is. It was miraculous that he took a chance and stepped out of the boat and walked toward Jesus ever so briefly because he wasn't successful on the top of the water, and he sunk. Or began to sink, and he became frightened by the strong wind. He cried out, "Lord, save me." The good news is that Jesus reached out. He reached out and kept him from drowning. The better news is that when we are afraid, Jesus will reach out and save us. So often, talking about this passage, we focus on the realization that Peter didn't have enough faith to do what Jesus had done or what Jesus called him to do. I'm not sure that the important thing is that Peter didn't have enough faith, but rather the important thing is that the event set the stage for Jesus to be declared the Son of God. Those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So I was chatting with a colleague of mine about the scripture, and his take was that Peter should never have gotten out of the boat. The emphasis of this story not being about Peter lacking faith, but about Jesus always being there for us, and who Jesus was and is. It's a given that we will fail from time to time, but that's not the point. No matter the reason, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. That's the climax of this story. And yes, Jesus did comment on Peter's lack of faith. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" he said. Well, we of little faith, why do we doubt? Well, actually, I think that the climax is when the community on the boat believed. Well, I never saw that passage that way. Well, neither did I. That's why I'm dusting. Because you needed to be rescued from the dust in your life? No. I was dusting because it was something I could control, thereby postponing trying to figure out why I was dusting. That makes no sense. That's it. It makes no sense that Peter only took a few steps on the stormy surface of the lake and then began to sink. I mean, Peter's the rock of the church, unsinkable. Peter means rock. But he gave into fear. And yes, he sank like a rock. He was distracted by the danger that surrounded him. My friend said he should have stayed in the boat. Well, that doesn't make sense either. I know. That's the beauty of it. We don't have to make sense of what Peter did or Jesus' actions. He reaches out and offers us his hand to save, and the best we can do is to acknowledge who he is, the Messiah, the Son of God. He reaches out to save us when we are afraid or in danger. He calms the storms that we find ourselves in. Well, why would we consider why the why of why Peter should have stayed in the boat. Well, we have to have faith, but not by getting out of the boat or trying to do it all by ourselves. It means we have to stay in the boat with the other disciples, stay in the boat with our community. The purpose of the ship was to set sail, not get stuck staying at the dock. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. In these words, Jesus echoes the great I am. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. In Matthew, Jesus says, I am. And we are to say that we are the followers of Jesus. So there was once a wise man, and I may have shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it again. And he dedicated his life to prayer. He became a hermit on a deserted island, living in a cave, praying day and night. Once a week, a nun would travel by ferry to bring him supplies. He demanded that she come at the same time each week so his prayers could continue and his schedule not be interrupted. He wanted to know exactly when to leave his cave and come down to the waterside. You see, his prayers were the most important thing, and how could anybody dare to disrupt? More often than not, a faithful nun was late meeting the wise man. Why are you late? He asked. The reasons varied from the fairy was late to there was something to do that she had to do in her order before she came, and he chided the nun and was very clear that timeliness was part of his call to his vacation. Be on time, he said. The next week, the nun arrived right on time, as well the following week, and as well the following. And after some time, the monk asked the nun how she managed to be so timely after so many times that she arrived late. Oh, that's easy, she said. I figured I could get here faster than the ferry if I simply walked. But the man protested, there's only water between here and there. Yeah, said the nun. How do you do that? It's easy, she replied. I just have the faith that Jesus will allow me to do so. Amazed and also annoyed, the monk said, well, if you can, so can I. Of course, said the nun, you just have to step out in faith. The monk gathered up his robe so that he would not get wet and walked into the water. Into, but not on. Angry, he grumbled, how is it that you can do this and I can't? I'm a great holy man. I live strictly by faith. I've dedicated my life to prayer. Well, she replied, if that is so, why did you gather up your robes before you walked into the water? In John, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the resurrection, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine. So we need to stay in the boat as a community. As you know, Shirley from the diocese has been with us several times trying to focus us along the way. And as I was thinking about this staying in the boat or stepping off the boat, and how staying in the boat was the place where we get anchored, the place of community, and stepping outside of the boat was the time when we thought we could do it all, that we didn't need anybody else. So are we in or out of the boat? Now, this doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything that everybody in the boat says, but we have to be agreeing to the willingness to talk with one another with purpose and to trust God to take care of the storm. We're going to set sail or stay on the dock. This is a copy of the presentation that Shirley made to us, and I'm going to leave it for people to look at. But just a couple of points. As we gather in the boat, we ask ourselves, what gifts do I have to offer? We've done this once before in the form of assessment, but this is just between you and God. What gifts do I have to offer as St. Francis goes forward into the world with new purpose? Where and how is God calling St. Francis? Where and how do we fit in to realize that call? How do we stay in the boat? Those are all questions that I have, and I suspect many of you have as well. And I've included this as part of the sermon because I think that the gospel readings are the essence of what we do here. It's the way we see Jesus, it's the way we know Jesus, it's the way we come to Jesus. This process here is a process of coming to Jesus, coming to figure out how we know Jesus is in this place, and he is for sure. But how do you know? How do I know that? I could spend another hour up here talking about that. How and why? And why do we say this is how that St. Francis fits into the community? What does that mean? What is our community? What about all those people that are outside the boat? How do we invite them in? So the question is, are you in or out of the boat? And we go into the world saying, hello, world. Jesus. Jesus says, I am. I am has sent us. Amen.